Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast Conversations with Unc on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Happy New Year to everyone listening and to Noah and Anya who are with me today. Hey guys, Happy New
Nikki.
Year.
Happy New Year, bitch.
I've already seen you, Anya, in the New Year. Noah, I didn't get to see you yet. And what did you do for New Year's, Noah?
Oh, gosh. So we had a trip that ended up kind of being a dud. We went to...
Yeah, it looked great on Instagram.
I know. Well, Instagram is full
of lies.
I know,
doesn't everything? Yeah, it is. God, you had some great like golden hour shots, okay, of like burritos that I thought were not even vegan. And then you're like, they're vegan. I'm like, oh, they're even better than I thought.
Yes, Tamerico, we're coming for you when Nikki Glaser's here on April
27th.
Tamerico,
she was on F-Boy Island.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I forget the impression of her that Kirsten did, but it was pretty good. Tamaris, shout
you
out.
Got, okay. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so you, why was your little trip a bust?
So we were going to go to a place called Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Supposed mm-hmm. to have like natural hot springs. It's named after like an old-timey TV show. We thought it was gonna
be
like,
it sounds like it was named after a 80s movie. Yeah
So it just, and we went over Christmas and everything was closed. I feel bad for people who live in like rural areas because there was nothing to do. It was just nothing. We were in the Airbnb just like, we could have done this at home. Just watching TV and eating.
Yes. Where there's, I was kind of thinking about like having nothing to do. Like I feel that way sometimes too, where I'm like, there's nothing to do, but there's always your phone, you know, there's always something going on there. I was listening to the Courtney show this morning and Courtney was talking about how her power was out and the TV was out and but you have your phone. Nothing's ever really that bad now.
As long as you have your 5G.
That's true. Yeah, it was Truth and Consequences. Did they have good 5G?
Yeah, because there was like no civilization there, so nobody else was on the internet.
Are you and Avi the kind of couples that can like disappear into your phones and kind of be okay with that? Or do you have to like get out a board game or something? Like,
So I was trying to do like a cleanse because the holidays for me, in all honesty, are not good.
Why?
It brings up a lot of like negative stuff, like, you know, because of my family that's dysfunctional.
Sure.
And
also there's no work to distract you from it.
I have no work to distract me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like my schedule is broken. And for an anxious person, like not to have a schedule, it just, I'm just in complete chaos.
Yes.
So relatable. I was trying to like not be on Instagram. I like fell into like a place where I started like looking through Instagram, comparing myself.
Yes. It just, and then also everyone's killing it on the holidays on Instagram. Loving like families.
Yes.
Cute outfits. Like decor that, you know, like garland hung, yummy baked goods, just effort people are putting in that you're like, oh God, what am I doing with my life? Yeah, a lot of that. So you tried to purge yourself of that.
I tried to not look. And then like with the whole trip going bad, I just kind of felt like a failure because I was the one who, it wasn't my suggestion, but I was the one who booked it, but I didn't really do that much research.
Yeah, but you're not going to check like the store hours, holiday hours of different places you wanted to go. Like you're talking about restaurants were closed, stores were closed.
Yeah, there was nothing.
What? Nothing to do. Yeah.
But was the hot springs open? Were they? Yeah.
The hot, we did end up going to one and it was really nice, but everyone was there. So it was like kind of gross to like be
in. I've done that too. You're like, oh, I'm sharing a tiny hot spring with a huge family.
Is a hot spring just like a hot tub, like a natural hot tub?
Yeah. Like you're just sitting in rocks. Like,
what if it gets too hot?
You get the foot out. No, like,
you get out and then you go thermometer.
Isn't it weird that it never gets too hot for, like, how is it that human, I don't know, like, whenever nature is giving us something that, like, is, I guess what I'm saying is like, why isn't it too hot or like too cold? You know, like how did we get lucky enough that hot springs are just the right temperature that it's like enjoyable for humans? Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
Can someone get back to us about how many humans have boiled in a hot spring?
Well, they definitely have in Yellowstone. There's like definitely ones where you can like die for sure.
So Mother Nature isn't super conscious of us.
Yeah.
Like doesn't give a shit.
I really do feel like since watching the show Alone, which Anya and Matt got me into, I could survive longer than maybe 15 minutes longer. I do think I could set a snare. I do think I could collect, I know what to eat when you're starving, like moss off the rocks and like berries and shit.
I am so surprised you're into this show.
Me too.
It's like, it's not surprising because I don't care if animals are hurt in the name of like survival. And I don't care if they're hurt in the wild and they're lived full lives as little porcupines, which, by the way, it's porcupine. Porcupine. There's a U. It's not porcupine. Everyone on the show says porcupine. It's cute, but that ain't how you say it.
I think I've been saying it wrong. I say porcupine. Porcupine.
Yeah, no, that's right. But they say
not
porcupine.
Not so much the U.
A porcupine.
That's like cauliflower.
Yes, it bugs me so much. And it shouldn't. Who cares? Say whatever you want. I don't care.
Who knew a porcupine had so much body fat?
So much fat. And that's what you want in these animals. All these people on the show Alone are looking for is fat. And it's so the opposite of like watching the Kardashians where all they're trying to do is suck it out of themselves.
Oh my God.
And
have you
did
seen
everyone get a buckle fat removal for Christmas? That's what everyone's asking for. Did everyone get one?
What is that? Is that the thing on the shirt?
That's the thing that everyone gets removed from their cheeks now. It's the new hot trend in plastic surgery.
Not a fan of that look.
It does look like you're thin. It makes it look like you're thinner because it makes it look like you have sunken in cheeks and you're starving. It looks like you're on Alone, the show, about 72 days in. So I just finished season 7 of that show. And it was a wild ride. I mean, it's made me look at the world differently. It's made me, the other day I cleaned a spaghetti squash out and I had to like scrape it out. You know, you cut a spaghetti squash and it's really hard to cut those. And then you scrape it out. No, you didn't see me prepare it.
Oh.
That was, no, preparing it before it was cooked when it's raw. And you have to like scrape it with a spoon. And I was like, I just felt like I had processed an animal that I had killed. Like I felt like so outdoorsy. I was so proud of myself. These people, you don't know what they get into, man. Like this one guy murdered a muskox with a knife. He shot it with his bow and then it was just injured and kind of walking away. And then he went in and just murdered it with a knife, just kept stabbing it. It was crazy. I mean, none of this I can watch. Like those scenes were when they club a fish, they pull a fish out and it's flopping around and then they club it. Yeah, I close my eyes. I put my hand up. I don't want to see that stuff. But mm-hmm. it doesn't bother me that it happens. I do think about the muskox if it had babies to feed. And I think about the starving babies crying and waiting for their mom to come back. Every time they catch a rabbit, I just picture the baby rabbits starving to death. And that bums me out. But yeah, I mean, hunting in the name of survival, I'm into. The other day I was walking down the street and I was on my way to Walgreens because Chris had borrowed my car because his car is broken. And I was like, yeah, I can just walk everywhere. And so I went to Walgreens and I was walking by some bushes and oh. it was like almost get, it was like dark out, you know, it was just about to get dark. It was probably like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because that's how fucking dark it gets dark so fucking early. And I hear like over and over. And thank God my AirPods, you ever like listening to music and then someone yeah. you like listen to an, you pull up Instagram and then the music cuts out and then it plays the Instagram video. And then you get off Instagram and you just don't put the music back on. And then you're just walking with nothing in your yes. ears, but your headphones still in and you don't even notice it. Thank God that's what happened to me because I could hear this little meow, 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 meow. And so I like look in the bush and then I see these eyes peering back at me and it's a little porcupine. No, it's a cat. It's a black cat. And it was just like couldn't stop meowing like every second, like was meowing. It definitely was trying to get my attention. And then I tried to like sit down with it and then people just kept driving by and walking by and it looked like I was trespassing because it was like on the lawn of this like kind of probably a dentist or something. I don't know. It was in like a building and it just wouldn't stop meowing, but it wouldn't get close to me because I was just like, come here. And then I was kind of looking at it and its belly looked really big. And I'm like, this fucking thing's pregnant. And it was 61 degrees outside at like 5 p.m. This was when it was in this was January 1st. I couldn't believe it. I'm so grateful that this cat wasn't in the freezing cold, but yeah. I didn't know what to do. So then I walked to Walgreens because I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, cat. You won't come near me. You keep meowing. And then it kept like skidding away, but then it would like walk around me and I felt like it was trying to get around me to go somewhere else, but then it would just like kind of stay and watch me. And it just like, I knew it wanted love and wanted aww. Shelter and warmth, but it also was so scared of it at the same time. It's kind of the same vibe Luigi has constantly of like, wants love so much, wants to be a good boy, terrified of getting close to anyone. Kind of like we all are. And so then I walked to Walgreens. The line for the prescription, you know, pharmacy was like too long. It was like two people or something. And I was like, fuck this shit. And so I got some cat food cans and I went back and I opened the cans and the cat is there still and wolfed down these two cans of food. Aww. And I just like talked to it and kind of like I was able to touch its little like face because I was holding aww. The can and I was able to like get a little touch in. And it got closer to me, but it wouldn't come anywhere like it wouldn't let me pick it up. So it wolfed down these cans of food, so fucking hungry. And then I just left because I don't know what to do. And I didn't have a car. And so Chris went to my parents to go get like the dog carrier that I had for Luigi that was there. And he brought it over. But I didn't go back. I didn't do it. I was like, yesterday business, I felt like it might be, the business would be open. And then I'm just stalking around the bushes looking for that cat. Also, I don't know what to do with a cat. Also, it could scratch me and give me rabies. I just like, it was too much. But I thought about that cat. And there was a part of me that was like, this cat needs me. Like, I need to have a cat. And then I was like, you can't have a fucking cat. I don't know. It was just a lot of, I want to keep my headphones up from now on because I don't want to see injured animals and have to rescue them.
You want to keep the volume on?
Yeah, I'm going to blast it up because I don't want anything vulnerable trying to get into my heart because it climbed in.
More denial in 2023. Yeah, denial.
I wrote to Noah being like, what do I do? And she wrote her friend. It just seems like too much work to go around. There are too many stray cats in the world. I wanted to get the cat off the street because I don't want him to murder birds. I'm really on the bird side of things here, but I couldn't. I don't know what to do. I just left it.
You did the right thing, and you could always – it's not like you have a ton of time either, but you do have a few days off. You could – if you find that cat again, you could see mm-hmm. if it comes in your carrier, and then you can – put a thing on your Instagram and see if anyone wants to adopt it, or call the, what's it called, society?
Yeah, the Humane Society, so they can do something humane with it. Yeah, I mean, it was just going to be ridiculous trying to get me to coax this cat into the thing. It was just too much work. This is where I give up on literally everything in my life, is when it approaches like being just a little too much logistics. Then I have to put out a post, and then people have to come by and meet it, and I have to meet them and talk to them.
Or maybe your part in all of this was just to get her those two cans of food. She's like, I got what I needed from you. The dentist will be open tomorrow, and he'll feed me.
Have more of a bleeding heart for this cat and help it. Because it was definitely loud, and it was on a busy enough sidewalk. Someone else. But this is the bystander effect. Someone else will deal with it. I did what I could.
Yeah.
Does the cat have a good personality? You might need someone else on this show.
What do you mean?
As a guest.
Oh, yeah. You know, the cat just did have charisma. You made. Really? Yeah. It was so cute. But it had like an eye that was kind of weepy. And I was like, oh, God. It just made me realize, like, if I got this cat, I would have to take it to the vet. I can't do that. That's what makes me go, I can't have kids. You have to, like, take them to the doctor. I can't even take myself to the doctor. I had an appointment this morning. And the woman asked, so who's your OBGYN? And I go, I don't know. And she was like, where is that? I go, I don't know. I don't know anything. My assistant made the appointment. I just showed up for it. I don't remember their name. I don't remember what building it was in. I don't remember anything. And I just really can't take care of myself.
No, that's not the conclusion, dude. You're very busy, and insurance changes all the time, probably. You don't have, like, a regular GP. That's okay. Bonnie McFarlane helped me feel better about this. She's like, I change my insurance every year. I never know who my doctor is, so that makes me feel better.
I've been seeing this woman for a while. I still can't remember. I do remember, what was her assistant's name? It was like Tony or something that stayed in the room. I do remember his name. Oh, yeah,
I remember him.
Because now all OBGYNs, like, they have to let someone stay in the room with you.
Oh, yeah.
We don't trust any of them.
Yeah, it's like a gangbang all of a sudden. You're like, dude, oh, is this supposed to make me feel more comfortable?
I think I raise a suspicion with any doctor who's an OBGYN that's a man. I can't do it. I went to remember the one we went to, Anya?
Oh, that guy? Yeah, he was nice. I liked
him. He was nice, but also did the same thing that I hear articles about what? Not addressing women's pain. I got an IUD put in, and it was, or no, I got a colposcopy, wherever they like scrape your.
Colposcopy.
Oh, yeah.
Colposcopy. It was the most painful thing. And the insertion of my IUD, which they could not get out, so they had to like yank it and ripped out like tissue. It was so I mean, I don't even have to say how painful it was, because I blacked out from the pain. I literally passed out from the pain. So that's and they said it would be a little pressure. What was that guy? Oh, yeah. He was nice. But yeah, I just, now that I'm learning so much about predatory behavior, we have to understand that these people go into these professions because that's what they are in. Like, there's a lot of people that just do it for, if you can prove to me that your mom died of uterine cancer or something, and that's why you want to go into it, okay, I believe you. But other than that, why would you choose the pussy? Why? As a male doctor?
Anya? To help women deliver babies.
Why? Do something else. Get out of there. Then be a pediatrician. But even that, I'd go, what do you need to be touching little kids? I mean, suspicious of all of it.
You're not saying all of them are.
Yeah, I am, actually. Unless you can prove to me that you. I want to. If you're an OBGYN and you're a man, write to me why. Why? If it isn't because, unless it's a reason like I had a woman in my life who suffered this thing and I want to like get in there. Because in medical school, you get to choose what you do. Right?
How many female urologists are there, too? I would like to know the percentage of urologists that are women.
I'm not, you know what? I'm not raising an eyebrow at them. They do what
they
want.
But I'm just curious why they get into it.
The money. Yeah. I don't know. The dick. Yeah. Is the urologist
same reason you got into comedy?
Yeah. The dick and money. I don't know. Yeah, that is interesting. Why does anyone get into anything? I don't
know. Just to be like, this is the size, huh? Are you fully grown?
They have to, people that OBGYNs definitely have to have a reason. It's just because you could choose anything, right?
It is weird that from a young age, I remember subconsciously being like, well, I got to choose a man OBGYN. Why? Why did I think that? Is it the patriarchy?
Really?
Yeah.
Wait,
my first OBGYN was a man. I haven't even had a woman until recently. I was like, probably post me too. I was like, no, I'm getting a woman. Why have I always gone to men? Like, you guys know better than we do.
Well, because it's that old riddle of like the doctor's, like it's something about the doctor's son is dead. And then who's the, and it makes, it you always presuppose that a doctor is a man.
Right.
So maybe that's why that we just think I've that never men gone are to smarter. A man.
Never.
Ever, Noah?
Well, a gynecologist.
Yeah.
Never.
I don't know why anyone would. And I did too.
Same. But
I just, and ever since then I haven't, because it just, but why would I think that's, and I'm sure people are out there like, my dad's an OBGYN, and it's fine. And it's like, I get it. Maybe you do want to deliver babies or whatever, but I'm just a little bit, it would ruin the vagina for you. It would take out, it would be like every vagina you see would be like, oh, more work. You know, let's say you're not a creep. It would take the sexuality out of vaginas maybe a little bit. So it would ruin it either way. Either you're doing it because you like vaginas too much, which is creepy, or you like vaginas in a sexual way, but you not in a medical way, but you see them so much medically, it would ruin it sexually.
I'm completely questioning my whole life now and having a little bit of an existential crisis.
About why you had a male OBGYN without question? Me too. Yeah. Well, that guy should question his existence. And everyone who works for him should. I want to hear why men want to be OBGYNs. Let me know if you have any in your life. We'll be right back after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I wanted to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I gotta go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered.
It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Happy New Year. We're back. Yeah, so I went to get a consult today via Zoom about getting my eggs frozen. Guys, what do you want to know? Ask me some questions about this thing. What do you want to know about it? Because I've got some fucking answers for you because it's bullshit.
How long does the whole process take?
Do you have to put a needle
inside? A couple
inside?
Months. Like, it just takes, like, you know, a couple cycles. Or however What's many the- you want to do. If the older you get, the more cycles you have to do because you only get about, you know, if you're lucky, you get like 20 eggs per session. But really, you're probably when you're in your like 30s, after 36, you're going to get like 10 if you're lucky. And then of those 10, the percentages of those actually being fertilized and not having any diseases is like 1 in 10. So you got to do at least 2 cycles to have any kind of like reassurance. I mean, these aren't the exact numbers, but it's not looking good. It's $10,000
per egg.
Insurance covers none of it for me.
Yep.
Because they see any kind of egg freezing or going to get infertility treatments as you being infertile. They or just like lock cosmetic. You in as infertile. So what's the fucking point? Yes. They go, so I am now in the system as infertile. So anything that I get done for me.
What?
Is totally an just like a fun little experiment that I'm choosing to do. What? Since when is healthcare like the thing you're getting treated for becomes the thing that makes it so you don't get to get treatment? Like, why is me being so they're marking me down as infertile, dead in the water, can't have kids because I'm going because I even went for a consult. So now I'm down in the system as infertile.
Now you're tagged.
And but branded. I'm going. To get treated for possible infertility. So isn't that a medical issue? Like, I don't understand it. And then I'm talking to the doctor and she was so freaking nice and cool. And like, she was like, just call me Mo. Like, I'm like, okay, Mo. So she's so nice and just, you know, down to earth. And I really liked her a lot. And she's answering all the questions that I could have. I didn't really have many questions because she kind of said it all. And I was not in the – I did woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. I'm 2 days away from starting my period. I got a message from someone being like, I can't believe how many people say so mean things about you and stuff like – just someone telling me what other people are saying about me. Please, for the love of fucking God, stop doing that. I know you're on my side. And I know you're telling me, like, it's hard to be you, and I love you so much. Why would they be saying mean things? Please don't tell me what people are saying, even in a very abstract way. It doesn't help. It only makes me think of things that are way... I'm never going to read it. Write whatever you want, people. I'm never going to read it. Ever, ever. I mean, my DMs are different. Tell it to my face. I dare you. I dare you. You would never.
Also, how is it good news? Why would you write to some... Why would you write to a celebrity you like... And tell them some bad news.
Well,
I don't understand
because the person was trying to empathize and say I could never. They were trying to. I get what they were saying. Like they were giving me what I actually need sometimes is like someone saying like I can't imagine what it would be like to have strangers pick apart my life and think they know me so well. He was trying to give me empathy, but in doing that, he had to tell me that people are picking apart my life, and I don't need to know that.
That might not be bad.
I'm never gonna look picking apart my life.
It might not be that they're saying bad things. It's just like, oh, I wonder if you know Nikki and Chris are gonna get engaged, or you know, it could just be like gossipy stuff in that way.
I know, but then I wrote back and I said I don't want to hear this, or like that's why I don't read it. And then he was like, it's not all bad. It's some lots of it is good, but you know, some people. But even saying it's not all bad means it is. Some of it is bad.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know. And why you just have to understand it's that a high school thing. They want to be close to you, and it's a way of being like we're closer now because I'm going to tell you some real shit. But I'm protecting you.
Yeah, and people
do
feel like they're close to me in my DMs. Yes. Like, I'm protecting you. I'm looking out for you. I can't believe these people would say this about you. I've been that person before. Because I didn't know what it's like to be told what you're not, what you're here. I can't believe people say this about you. Can you imagine? Just run this through your head, listener, that someone said to you, I can't believe what people are saying about you. It's you. I love you so much. They are crazy. Would that make you feel good? Would that make you feel secure? Like, oh, this person loves me. Of course it wouldn't. No matter how many people love you, if you find out a group of people are together writing about you, and of course I know that they are, and I signed up for it, and I'm sure you're going to write all the people that write this bad stuff, you're going to write all of the stuff in there. She deserves it. She lets us in on her life. That's what we get to scrutinize it. You're a loser, first of all. You're a huge loser who writes and like negative things about someone online. I'm not kidding you. I've been in some dark places. I've never been in a dark enough place where I write paragraphs of negativity about someone I don't know. I really hope you get help. You're a loser, and you're I don't know if you're always going to be one, but it's not looking good. I don't think that this is going to get through to you. I have compassion for you. I really want you to get better, but I'm never going to read what you write, so if that's any consolation. And I dare you. If you really think something about my life, I dare you to DM me and have a personal conversation.
Yeah, just DM her.
I would love it. DM me your concerns about my life or your thoughts about my life, because I'm never going to read those message boards ever, ever, because I take care of myself, which you should take care of yourself and do something good for yourself.
Or go to BetterHelp.com.
Woke up on the wrong side of the bed with this.
Promo code Nikki Glaser. Or go to BetterHelp.com, promo code Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, yeah. There's therapists standing by to help you with your misplaced aggressions at celebrities you do not know. She thinks she's a celebrity. She thinks she's so cool. She even said celebrity just then. She thinks she's so famous. We don't even give a fuck.
Also, I already know you're going to get DMs clarifying this. So let me, can I say one thing?
Oh, yes. Please save me DMs clarifying, please.
I know, and Nikki knows, that probably a lot of those comments on Reddit are well-meaning people who are like, I really care about her, and here's what I hear, and I think she's doing this and that, and because I care about her, I'm writing this. And it's some,
DM
it's cloaked
me.
As that.
DM
yeah,
my
just
friends.
DM her.
You have access like, to everyone where you can actually help me. You talking about it with other fans in a forum where you're just trying, you're not actually helping anything. But also... If you're worried about someone else and you're like about the things going on in my life, I would almost 100% guarantee that your life, there are similar things going on. And that's why you can so clearly see them in my own life, because I know that whenever I do the same thing, which I have, I don't write about it, but I definitely hate online and look at things and go and zoom in on them and have opinions about what people are doing and how I think they're running their lives and how I think they should do things differently. And it's always because I'm doing things that are nefarious that I don't like about myself. So look back at your own self, and I'll do the same. So anyway, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed because of that. Literally, that was the first thing I got when I'm in bed. And I was just like really sad. And then I had to jump on this Zoom call about having my eggs frozen. And she was like, so just tell me like what brings you here. And I go, okay, I don't want kids at all. There's a 20% chance that I ever want kids in my whole life. I 100% don't want them now. I'm doing this because of the patriarchy, because I'm scared that I'm someday going to be with a man, whether it's my boyfriend now or maybe he dumps me and I end up with someone. And the only way a man will ever love me is if I'm able to give him his own child. That's why I'm doing this. And then I smiled and we continued the conversation. I go, that's the only reason. And I go, I'm doing it for insurance in case some man down the road wants to have his own baby, because it seems to be more important to men than it is to me to not adopt. Men don't want someone else to raise someone else's seed. And so that's why I'm doing it. And then as soon as I said that, I was like, why am I doing this? And then I find out it's $10,000. Honestly, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do this, because it's... So, and first of all, you can't travel at all.
Yeah,
so
like, what is the process
said,
like?
Yeah, so you go in for your consult, you have to get a blood test, and you have to get your follicles looked at in your ovaries through an ultrasound. Then they just see what they're working with. Then you go back in, and they order all the medicine. You have to put $2,000. This is just for two sessions of harvesting. And I mean, some women do like five, okay? One is like pretty worthless. Two is like the bare min, pretty much. So it's $10,000, $2,000 down to for them to order all the medicines. And then you go through a whole cycle. You like you go in a bunch of times, though, but you have to be like ready to go at any time. Like you have to go in constantly to get checked and make sure that, okay, now's the time to pull the eggs. Now's the time. So there's really no window for me. I go, I'm never going to be in town 14 days straight in a row, ever, in the rest of my life.
She's tell like, your kid.
Well, I could have, if there were nannies that could pull my eggs on the road, then that would be great.
That is
what you
need.
If I could get a surrogate for someone to harvest my eggs. So I might have to go to like some place in Chattanooga or wherever the fuck I'm performing.
And truth or consequences, New Mexico, it'll just be closed.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, what was I going to say? You can't travel at all for 8 weeks?
No, for 14. No, you can, but I'll have to go to find a clinic there. And have them send the pictures and everything. It's just a huge.
How do they pull the egg?
Clusterfuck. It's a procedure where you have to go under. You have to be put under.
Oh my god.
Anesthesia with fentanyl and something else. She said, and then they pulled out, and then you just there's you know a less than 1% chance of any kind of like negative things that could happen during the egg pull. It's a very you know low risk procedure, and then you do it. Maybe back to back, like you might do it just right away the next moment. You get on the birth control pill for like 10 days so that your eggs calm down and then they start producing like on a dime, like at the right moment so that they're. But I mean, what was most depressing to me is just the age plummet. No one told me at 32, your vagina becomes Tucson. Like I did. No one told me. I know. You're at 32, geriatric pregnancy, which now they're calling what's it? Like a mature pregnancy. It's something they changed the name from geriatric. And then, you know, there's all the risk of like having kids with like there's a 1% chance your kid's going to have some kind of genetic disorder that is very visible to the public and to you, you know. But I don't think I want to spend $10,000 on this.
That's not the reason.
No, that it's 100% the reason. Yes. That's a lot of money that I, you know, when I spend that amount of money, I like to spend it on stuff I can use. This is just it's a hassle.
A very important thing you could use.
Though. I don't think it's important to me, though. Like, I hate to bring, this is going to be a whole Reddit thread at some point for sure. I don't have a problem adopting. I have, so why am I doing this? I have zero problem adopting. I don't
you could do both.
That's no the part of me. Issue.
There's not no the part grand. Of me that wants to needs my kid to look like me or have my same like physical traits or mental traits. If anything, please don't have my mental traits. And a lot of my physical traits I could leave on the fucking drawing room table as well. If I have no problem, they probably wouldn't get my legs. My child would probably be born without legs because I decided to have a kid past the age of 34. So it's like, it'll probably just be born with like nose for legs or something. Like it's my
child. But that's a great nose, the Glazer nose.
That's true. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm feeling really discouraged about the whole thing. I'm going in on Monday to do the ultrasound and the blood work, but I don't think I'm going to – I might not even keep the appointment because I'm just so discouraged. I just think this is all so just – I just feel like the most feminist thing to do would to be – like it feels like when you stop wearing makeup. You just give up and you just go, you know what? Instead of like trying to trick science into like making more of me – I just have to accept what is instead of just fighting it constantly and paying for all this thing that some women, it's very important to them to have their own kid and to be pregnant. It just isn't for me. So what am I doing? I think I'm doing this the same reason that people tell me to buy a house or get married because everyone else does it. Well, I just don't know that I really care. It's like redoing my kitchen. I don't care. I'd rather just rent the rest of my life. I'll rent a kid. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's no like right or wrong approach to this. You know, it's okay if you don't want kids and it's okay if you kind of want them, but not right now or you're just not sure. I think it's just like you don't know where you're going to be in a year from now and your perspective might change and you might say, you know what? I had this opportunity. Why didn't I take it? Just look at it as an opportunity that you are able to take at this moment. And I think you should follow through. I don't think feminism is giving up and just accepting. Like, don't accept. Push through it. Because right now you're just seeing it through like one lens. And you haven't found that other lens that gives you like the reason as to why you would want kids. Or you say, you know what? I'm glad I have this option on the side waiting for me, but it's not for me. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And then you're only out 10 grand, which you make in 10 grand one
so
night
many
of doctor's show.
Voice
you
visits.
Make that in a meet and greet, if two meet and greets. It's nothing.
I know, but I could do, but I care about that kind of money. Like I
but
spend my money.
It could be a human child of your own. So it's not like a gift card at Sephora.
It could be an option for you. Look at it as an opportunity. As an opportunity that's down the road for you. Don't look at it as a child. Yeah. Don't look at it as 10 grand. You're investing in a potential opportunity.
The way I felt waking up this morning was like, I could not have a kid with how much self-hatred I felt this morning. I don't know how women do it. If you're someone out there with a small child, men too, you know, single fathers or whatever, and you're out there as a depressed person with children, how do you do it? I mean, I struggle having a dog. The idea of getting a cat and like having to take care of that on days where I feel like this is so incomprehensible to me. I just feel like I would yell at my kid a lot today for something they didn't do because I would just be you know, I just feel like to minimize the damage I can do to the world, it's to not have a kid.
And that's okay for now. But also, you know, when I hear you talk about it, you're saying, You're talking about how you would handle it and what it would be like for you, but you know you would hope that there's another person in that equation.
Yeah, my nannies would probably have better another person. Mental wellness because I would pay them well, and we would watch a lot of Bravo TV together and enjoy that and have that kind of relationship. Yeah, okay, so you're right. That's what she said to me. The doctor was like, listen, I definitely didn't want kids. I sat my parents down and told them I didn't want kids. And now I have three. Like, and
what?
I, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I would give anyone anything. I would give my right arm for a kid. I'm like, did your kid have a right arm? How long did you wait? So it's just, I get that it, like things can change on a dime. And they do for me. I don't think, though, this kid thing has ever wavered from the time I ever was a teen till now. Ever.
Well, I've heard you talk about wanting
kids.
To adopt. Like, you, to me, this issue is like, it's more about do you want a kid or not? And then the secondary issue is do I freeze my eggs or not? Because it sounds like you don't mind. Like, if you decide to have a child, you, Nikki Glaser, all on her own, would not mind at all adopting and doesn't even really care about having her own biological
child.
No, I
don't. I'm just doing this for men.
So then
that might want to have a baby with me.
Why
because I don't
do
feel like, because I want to stay with the man that I someday I'm with who definitely wants a kid.
But he, the man that you're currently with doesn't have a problem with adopting, correct?
I know, but what if we don't make it? And then
so
I'm single
the
and then the only guy that will date me is someone who's like, I got to have my own kid. I've met so many men that are like, yeah, I would only.
Yeah, but
do
you
it
wouldn't date those
own.
Men. You wouldn't be in a relationship.
I would, believe
men.
Me, I'd want to. Like, no, it's literally every man. It's,
okay.
I'm not joking.
What's his
you,
name? Zac Efron is like, I'm with you now. It's 2024. I need to have my own child biologically.
Yeah.
So, and then you're like, cool. I froze my eggs and then you'll do it?
Yes. Because if a man wants kids that bad, like they're going to help out a lot. I figure. Because mommy needs to take her naps. And my hormones are going to be even more of a fucking grab bag gamble every day when I get older. Because I was watching Fleabag the other day. And you remember that scene with that older woman that's like, and then she's like, being a woman's awful. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And then you reach menopause. And it's amazing.
Yes.
And you're like, yes. Oh, my God. She's like, you don't have to care anymore. Like. And she's
Kristen
like,
Kristen Scott Thomas or something. She's so cool.
Oh, yeah. That's her. She's so gorgeous. And she plays this like lesbian that what's her name is talking to. And Fleabag is like, I've heard, you know, menopause is terrible. And she's like, oh, it is. But then it's glorious. It's glorious. And it does seem to be that way. But it's going to get pretty bad before then. I was just so mad hearing about that fertility thing.
No.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's elective, but we want everyone in this country to have children because of the Christian right, and you get a tax break if you had to have a child. So the whole country is all about, like, everybody have a baby, have a baby, have a baby, and then when it comes down to you wanting to have a baby, they're going to fuck you.
I just felt like I was doing, like, I was playing a woman who wants to have a baby. I literally thought I was like auditioning for a role of something that I know I would never. It was almost baby like maker. I was putting on a mustache and a hat and like suspenders and was like, the way I would feel if I've ever done drag and I dress up like a man and I'm like, I'm a man now, and I do like a man character. That's exactly how I felt on this call with this woman being like talking about me with my eggs and my, like, showing me my ovaries and stuff. Like, I'm not saying I'm not a woman. I'm very much a woman, but it's just not, I just didn't get that chip in me that any of this is alluring to. And I feel, again, I very much relate it to the kitchen being redone thing or picking out. I got a new couch yesterday and I'm on Crate and Barrel and there's 20 different textile kind of, like, just the textile, the way it feels. And then there's 20 different colors. So if you do the math on that, there's literally like 400 options of things that you can get. And it is too much. And so what did I do? I said, what is in stock? One color was in stock. I got that color. Is it going to be the shittiest kind? For sure. Is it going to be the shittiest color? For sure. But it is, I just, otherwise I would never have gotten the couch. I can't deal with this too many options. And women that just know what they want and will like wait a long time, or they'll have a whole book of swatches sent to them. God, I would give anything to be like that. I really would. To like,
me too.
Right? To care about something like that and to understand it and have the patience to like pick it out. And, you know, picking out a new bed is exhausting. It's all, you know, my resolutions for the new year is just to like myself more and accept what I am. And I'm having a really hard time with it today, especially because I had to get on a call and pretend I'm a girl who wants to have a baby, because that's.
Wait, let's. OK, so let's talk about your New Year's Eve.
Because that so looked fun.
Spectacular.
It was so fun. It was at the Stiefel Center.
And Achievement
out.
Unlocked. You sold it out.
Yes, definitely sold it out. Thank you so much to every bestie that came. It was such a fun night. It was so, it felt like my wedding, for sure, because it was like all my friends in town, my family, a lot of people that, you know, I should know but don't really know that well. Like everyone in my life is there. You have to talk to everyone, mingle with everyone. Like, it's your special day, but you feel like you're hosting something as well. It was a lot of work, but it ended up being so much fun. It was a great day through and through.
Really,
I lost my purse, but I got it
everything.
Back. Thanks. I mean, I had
like
a really
you had a
rough
million people come
hours.
Into town. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you had all your, I had a lot of good friends come into town, stay with you. You were like hostessing. Your apartment is impeccable now.
That's because I have help from Taylor. She does everything. Literally, Taylor hasn't come by in a couple days in my house. I won't fold a piece of laundry. I won't do anything. Like, it all could be done. I won't do it anymore because, like, now I have a housekeeper, but now my place is a fucking mess. So, it was a lot of work all weekend, and I'm already feeling like I don't deserve to take a nap again. Like, what's the next thing? I have nothing on the books in terms of, like, that's looming like this. I definitely have my tour and everything, but those shows are selling well. I'm feeling, like, really satisfied about that. I'm not, like, worried about anything in the future, and I think that is starting to set in. And I already – it's just so weird. You go from this night on Saturday, like, the biggest night of your life. Everyone in your life is around you. You have this big show. Then there's a meet and greet of, like, 250 people at least for,
whoa.
Like – so it's an hour and a half show and then an hour of meeting people, which I genuinely love. It is – it's long, but it's not bad at all. But it's exhausting. And then – and then you go home and you wake up in the morning and your boyfriend leaves and your friends have all left town and it's quiet and there's no one around and there is nothing to do and no one's even texting. Like, it's just all goes like it's like a vacuum, like nothing. And it's like this, it's a little bit hard to get calibrated back to like, what is my life? Because that was just so nuts. It feels like I should have gone on a honeymoon or something, because just being in my empty apartment after all of this in the same town that this all just happened in felt just kind of like a little bit of a shock. But the night itself was so fun. My sister brought her kids backstage and everyone was like, the kids don't need to be here. And I was like, thank God for these kids, because I can just play with them. I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't have to entertain people. They're getting my mind off of being nervous. Like, I can just focus on opening this gift for Poppy and, like, you know, doing the twist ties on the back, trying to get this little squirt gun for my nephew figured out. Like, that's what I wanted to focus on 15 minutes before I went on stage than anything
else. Yeah, you're
else,
really
because
good
everything
at that.
Else was just too, too much. But it was
funny too when it's like your night and you have all this pressure on you to do a huge show and then to be a hostess. Like, there was a pre-party, then there was a post-party to the show. So Nikki's yes. not only like doing an hour and a half long show, actually more like a 2 hour long show with introducing everybody.
Everything,
and,
yeah.
And then she does this hour and a half long meet and greet. Then there's an after party, but there was a pre-party. So you were like on from, I would say, 6 p.m. to 2 in the morning. Like on.
Yeah, because I also had a guy that was interviewing me for this piece that was,
oh yeah,
you
so
know,
like
from,
4
I would say
PM.
From 5 o'clock until oh, wow. 1 a.m. It was nonstop. And there was maybe, I went to the bathroom once and had a little bit of alone time, like a breather. But other than that, it was just constantly talking to people. And like it honestly, I like it. I don't really want it to not, I don't really need that much alone time. But
yeah, you're amazing.
That's nice.
I like implode.
You would what?
I just implode. I've come to know about myself that, you know, I can do about 4 things in a day well. And if my plate gets any more full than that, like some people thrive with a full plate. You are one of those people. Like, you really do. You thrive with a full plate. Deadlines, like immediate deadlines. You're like, all right, let's kick this into high gear. I like get paralyzed and freak out. So like, I'm like, okay, my show, I have to do vocal, you know, warm-ups. I have to remember to put my flash drive bracelet on my wrist because it's part of my show to do this thing with that. Then I, you know, have to remember my songs and then just my guitar and my capo. I forgot one of those things because I got distracted with something else before the show. And it was like, see, I cannot multitask well. Like, I can't even go out and say hi to people for 5 minutes without feeling discombobulated. So I didn't even get to socialize really because it would take me off.
Well,
balance.
You have the luxury of not having to. No one's expecting you to. Like, if they expected you to, you probably could. You know, like, if I was someone that didn't have to go say hi to everyone that was there for me, I probably wouldn't have, you know? But it wasn't an option. It was, like, my wedding. Like, and that's why I would love to elope someday.
Yes.
So that it doesn't, because I do love doing this. Like, I didn't, there was no part of that night that I was like, ugh. Like, it was a lot, but it was still, the whole thing was fun. And I loved
that.
Not
even when your dad was like, why are there no drinks in the food room?
Oh my God. I mean, that is just.
She's just, like.
And he performed,
like,
right?
Can I say, yes. My parents do this too, where I'm like, I'm doing 17 things at once and I'm fully made up and trying to keep it together and I've got a smile on my face. But if one fucking match goes on my back, I will lose it. And like, all of a sudden it becomes known to us that in the pre-party room where there's all these pizzas because this very nice company delivered a bunch of
Pizza
them.
Head, yes.
And they were delicious and they were vegan and they did all of this out of the
big
kindness
salads
of their hearts.
And cookies. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
All free.
And then we come to realize, whoops, the drinks that we had ready were not put in that room. They were in a different backstage room. So myself, Nikki and Matt, her husband and her brother-in-law, we go into the other room and Matt and I are like, Nikki, don't worry about it. We got this. And we start moving the drinks. Right at that moment, her dad waltzes in and is like, right to Nikki, like mumbling, kind of like in the way you imitate him in your childhood dinners. Like, yeah. Soup's cold, weird, but would have liked to warm.
Why would
soup.
You have, why would you have the drinks in here when they're... The food's all in there. And I go, are you joking me? I go, I am right now having all of the drinks moved there. This is what bothers
like a
me
wedding.
About it. It's not, if he would have just said, if he didn't need to say anything, first of all, because we were already doing exactly what he was trying to have remedied, right? But what annoys me is that my dad already And people do this all the time. It's not just my dad. And this is a Glazer family trait. That's why I love my friends and family to be around my, I love my friends and my boyfriend to be around my family because they see where I get it, where they look at me and they go, Jesus, Nikki is weird or she's intense or, you know, and then they look at how I was raised and they go, okay, this makes sense. So this happened right before. So we were headed to rehearsal. My dad picks me up. And there's a lot of traffic downtown because I was, you know, right next to the Stiefel Theater is the Enterprise. It sounds like the Enterprise Center, but it wasn't like a rental car place. The Enterprise Center, it's like the hockey rink for the Blues. Yeah. And so that game was starting hours before my show. So getting down there was so much traffic. So I go, Dad, instead of me driving separately, pick me up. We'll go to rehearsal together. So we go. He picks me up. We go to soundcheck together. And as I'm going downstairs, I have this big bag of all the clothes and all the things I need for the whole night. And my dad is 68, so I just don't like him lifting things anymore. And I am an able-bodied woman who has about 4 eggs inside of her right now. It's ready to be harvested at any moment. And so my dad pops the hatch for the back trunk. And I grab the bag and he's like, let me get it. And my dad's fighting aging and fighting this and wants, you know, to be a good man in this moment for his weak little daughter. And he picks up the bag and I'm fighting with him with the bag. And then I slam my head on his dumb fucking Nissan back trunk hatch that does not come all the way up because it's he bought a vehicle that was in an accident, so the thing doesn't even come up all the way, and I slam my head. It's bleeding. There's a huge dent on my forehead, and we get in the car, and I'm just like calm about it. I'm just like, I hit my head, it's fine, it's bleeding, whatever, I'm gonna put a Band-Aid on it, I'm gonna honor Nelly tonight for my performance here in St. Louis. And then we're pulling out, my dad goes, why wouldn't you just let me get it? Why you wouldn't? And I'm like, Dad, I already have a gash on my head. Isn't that punishment enough? Do you need to shame me more for how dumb I was for doing this? Like, why do we need to add to it? So again, like, I already am getting the drinks out of the room. I've already realized that there has been a mess up here. I'm already feeling bad about it. People are in that room eating. They're all going like, where's the drinks? And they're having to shuffle between the two. And my green room is kind of in the middle of trying to get to those. So they feel like they're kind of, to get to the drinks, they're kind of having to go through my green room. And they all feel kind of weird about that. So it's just like not a good vibe backstage. I already feel horrible about it because I've realized it too late. So I'm trying to fix it. And my dad has to come in and mumble something about, why would you put the drinks in here when the food's like, what do you, why? Why must we keep punishing ourselves on top of the thing? Just isn't it enough that I'm having to like it? And so I just snapped and he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was. I mean, I went a little bit too much off on him, but I just couldn't take it anymore. And that was my evening. Moment. It was, yeah. But then it was good. They were fun. They drove us home, Chris and I home at the end of the night. And that was fun. And, you know, there were gunshots, I guess, on the way out for some people leaving the venue. Did that happen to you, Anya?
We were told by security to wait indoors for the Uber. And we were like, no, we can wait outside. They're like, you don't want to go out there. But then they were being cagey about why. I was like, why? A lot of drunk people? And they're like, just stay inside. I'm like, okay.
I just
is it dangerous? They're like, it's dangerous. Yeah.
It's dangerous, but this, it's not any more dangerous than any other city. Because yesterday, everyone on the girls' show, or 2 days ago, was like, we heard gunshots. Da, da. And I'm like, that's a thing that happens on New Year's Eve everywhere, first of all. Everyone shoots off guns. And yes, St. Louis does have a crime thing. But I looked up the crime in St. Louis and it is not any more worse than anywhere in the U.S. So everyone was just like, I got so scared. And everyone's like, you know, running off home to Arkansas and Kansas City thinking it's safer. It's the same in those places, too. St. Louis is not different. I'm not worse than you because I live in a crime-filled city. I just felt like it was a little bit accusatory. Guns. Yeah, but it was New Year's Eve. I bet that happened everywhere. And I looked on the news and there was no shootings.
It was fireworks.
So you tell me.
No successful ones, but they did throw a burning thing off a balcony.
A burning thing? Taylor.
Yeah, toward Taylor and everyone. Like, threw burning objects at Taylor.
I don't know. I just felt like you guys were like, St. Louis is disgusting and terrifying.
I didn't say that. But watch that one video where they're running and they're like, you hear in the background, like, pop, pop, pop. And then you see the girls in the video realize, like, those aren't fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Everyone always thinks guns are fireworks at first. I mean,
they sound so, like, cute.
Similar. Well, yeah, that's not. What any. I mean, I've read a lot of books about mass shootings and stuff. You guys know that. And, like, everyone always thinks it's firecrackers. So if you ever think there are firecrackers, I'm at the point where I think firecrackers are guns now because I know that so much. Right. So it's that's what it will sound like. But St. Louis does not have a bad crime rate.
That was an insane show. You were so great and so poised and so funny. There was this moment, Nikki like rewrote Antihero for St. Louis with these hysterical lyrics. And then like there was like a whole moment where she had to vamp because she didn't see the last verse. It was missing from her phone where she was reading lyrics. And so she vamped, which was almost funnier than the whole song that she had written. And the crowd just went nuts. It was such a great vibe in the place. And then you and your dad did a song that I swear you should like bring back many times because it's so touching, so funny. Like I was peeing my pants laughing in bed that night just thinking about it. And you guys are just so... so good together. It was an amazing, amazing show. I'm so proud of you.
It was so nice. Thank you so much. And like, yeah, it was, I couldn't have done it without the help of obviously you and Matt and all my friends and just everyone that was there that weekend. It was like, it was so special to me. I wish you would have been there, Noah, instead of Intrigue and Consequences. we're going to come back and we're going to do Reddit Dump right after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
All right, it's time for Reddit Dump.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump.
Okay, so this is from the Reddit Unpopular Opinion. And it says, finding a hair in your food is no big deal. I mean, it's unfortunate, but do you know what I do when I find a hair? I don't eat it. I remove it and discard of it. I don't understand why finding a hair renders a meal inedible for most people. 99.9% of the time, it wasn't intentional. The other 0.1%, well, that's a different story. The fact is, never mind how careful you are when cooking, a stray hair is going to fall in food occasionally. Thoughts? Because I've thought this way too. Like, what? How much dirt does a hair piece of hair have on it that you renders your food inedible? Just pull it out. It is gross because hair detached from the human head is disgusting on its own. We all know that. Just pull it out and keep eating the food. Like it, I don't get like I understand if it was like a piece of poop was in your food. Like you couldn't just the poop would like leave behind remnants. But what does a hair leave behind aside from like old shampoo that it's gonna make or like a little grease from their head that you can't even see? That'll probably make the food taste better because it's grease, yo. What is? I think it's more of just a visual thing than actually something that can really impair your taste buds or
also does it matter if the hair is curly or straight? What if there were two hairs? What if there were three?
That's racist if people are more anti-curly hair. Well, small curly hairs make you think of pubes, which make you think of like cum and shit and all the things that are down there. And so, yes, I get it. But let's normalize just instead of reordering a whole thing and shaming whatever.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that's too much.
Aging man is back there who's losing a lot of hair. Just take it out of your food and keep eating.
Usually the hair that I find is usually from my own head. Like if I reach for something, it falls off my sleeve.
But, yes.
So I will definitely eat food if I find someone else's hair in it. I just have to go through a little bit of like the mental thing of like thinking about swallowing the hair and then pulling it out of my throat.
Oh God. Yeah. No, that's good.
What gets to me first, and then I just like dismiss it.
I assume that that's the only hair in there. I don't think that there's, it's not like cockroaches, like there's going to be more. In fact, there's going to be probably more cockroach legs in your salad or like mice shit.
Yep.
That's crawling all over the potatoes that, you know, there's so much crap in your food that you can't see. And if you're someone who goes out to eat and you have there's a hair and you can't eat the entire dish, stop going out to eat. It isn't for you. Make things at home so you can inspect them. It's not for you to go out to eat. And I know you're like, Nikki, that's not fair. I'm just saying, like, if you took a black light to your meal, you would be horrified at what you can – you and people that – I'm not even going to get into it because people start getting mad at me because they're like, I do that. And I just don't want to make any more enemies than I have already. But Anya, how do you feel about hair in your food?
I feel the same. Like one hair, I'm going to just pull it out and keep going. If there were two or three, I'd be like, something's going on with
two,
you guys back
there. Two, you go, okay, well, there's probably going to be three then. Yes. If you have two hairs in your food, yes, send it back. I used to have a joke. One of my like earliest jokes was that someone found a hair in their food. And I was like, well, it is angel hair pasta. And our pasta chef, Esperanza, is an angel if you met her. So, okay. So stupid. I hate myself. All right. So this one is from To Me IRL, For Me IRL. And it's just like memes and different tweets. And this is from a tweet from a guy named My Toe Cold. It says, I'm sad, but not like sad enough to be a good painter or whatever.
I love tweets
that say like that sound colloquial, like it sound like someone's talking. I'm yeah. sad, but not like sad enough to be a good painter or whatever. yes, that I relate to that. Okay, so this one was from True Off My Chest. My penis is long, but it's really skinny, like someone glued a Slim Jim to the bottom of my torso. We gotta change how we measure penises, man. I always feel like I'm lying when I tell a girl I'm 8.5, but she gets confused when I whip out my Twizzler. Still, though, it's my penis, and I'm glad to have it, even though I'm sure I can break it in half like a pocky stick. So people, he said, I'm not going to take a picture, stop asking. And then he decided to paint, like, draw a picture of it. Like, I would do my shits, Anya.
Yeah, I still have those saved
and
in
this
my
is
iPhoto.
It. It's little. Whoa. It's very thin and has
there's
a big head.
No
it looks
body
like a Q-tip.
To scale.
Noah's getting horny. It looks like a Q-tip. Yeah, there's no body to scale, so you can't see, but it looks 8.5 inches, but really thin. That would suck. That would be hard. Have you ever seen anything
like
that?
I like that he's it. I just went, you know, micro penis boy, but no.
Yeah, micro penis is different. I feel like it's, if that's, but thin, I've never seen that. But more power to you. I've just never seen it before. If it looked like a millipede.
I gotta say, Twizzler is my favorite road trip snack. So.
Really?
Your girl's feeling it.
Oh my God. Wait, Twizzler is your favorite road
yeah,
trip
I always
snack?
Get it when I'm on a road trip. I never crave it any other time.
Oh, that's interesting. In terms of licorice, wait, what's the other kind of licorice that is more like straw-like? Red vines.
Oh yeah.
It's gotta be strawberry.
Yeah, we were Twizzler fan. I like strawberry Twizzlers, but I like them to be a little bit stale, so
yes.
They're chewy.
Yes, me too.
I like that. Okay, so this is from Made Me Smile, and it's from Glennon Doyle. She wrote that one book called like I Can Do Hard Things or whatever. Maybe it's called Brave, but in it she says I can do hard things. Anyway, it says, "Hi, I want to talk like her. She's always on Instagram, really saying like." Just like sharing a little bit too much, you know, where she's like, I just cried all morning in the bathroom. And I just want to say, like, you're always kind of like, I liked you better when I thought you were like this perfectly together, like author who, you know, didn't always look like she had just had a nervous breakdown in a minivan. but I like her realness because, and any realness I don't like about her is a projection of what I don't like in myself. We just learned that in the first segment. Okay. So it's hi. There's a family next to me at the store. I just heard the dad say to his kid, well, it's brave to go on a roller coaster. And it's also brave to say you don't want to go on a roller coaster. Wanted to tell you something good. That is good. I liked that.
Aww,
if someone would have told me that as a kid, because I was so scared of roller coasters, but I was more scared of how people would respond if they found out I was scared to go on roller coasters. Because in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I'd say all through middle school, roller coasters are like drinking or sex. Like, it is like the baddest thing you can do as like a kid is like go on a roller coaster. That means you're badass. It's like getting hyper. It's like, you know, the cool kids go on roller coasters. You're cool if you can do that. And if you're scared of things, you're a baby and you're a dork. And I was terrified of roller coasters. And I wish someone would have pinpointed or told me that admitting what you're scared of is actually brave because no one does it. That would have maybe
especially
helped
if you're
me.
A guy.
With a Twizzler dick. Yeah, if you're a guy scared of roller coasters, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably more pressure on men to be like strong and like really scary rides and stuff. But I don't know. Chris loves that stuff. And I think it's stupid to love that stuff because I don't understand why you why you want to trick your body into feeling like it's dying.
Yeah, we already do that enough with getting laser treatment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's for a purpose.
The irony
I guess
of
people
it
really love it.
Is they say that it makes them feel very alive.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as like base jumpers or any of these guys that just do this stuff. It's like, yeah, it makes you feel alive to cheat death or to have your body convinced that the endorphins that you get from it. I mean, I came on the X Factor ride at Six Flags, yeah. Magic Mountain. There was a roller coaster that made me have an orgasm. 2007, 2008, something like that. Not joking you.
Wow.
Really did.
Just spontaneous coming.
And I knew it was one because I'd never had one before. It was like probably my first. It was insane. It was insane. Okay, Noah, will you share one of the videos that I have sent you?
Okay, so this is from Funny Videos.
Oh, I love this so much. She is, she is coming out of anesthesia. It's one of these videos where she had her mouth operated on and she's just saying weird shit. You know, like, this is my worst nightmare of what I would say in this state of mind. But this girl is so hilarious.
Okay, serious question.
Yeah.
When was the last time you ever saw someone do the YMCA?
When was the last time I saw someone do what?
The YMCA.
Oh, do the YMCA?
When was the last time you done that?
Oh.
It's like you don't even care about the YMCA.
So she is crying because her mom or whoever's with her,
and she's got,
she says, when was the last time you ever seen
her?
And she's really serious about it. That makes me feel like, honestly, watching that, I'm like, that's me right before my period, aka right
now.
Like, just so irrationally sad about everything and taking everything so personally.
I'm right there right now.
I am too. Our cycles are all synced.
Yeah, I'll be there in like 3 days.
I'm there in 2 days, or maybe tomorrow, God willing. Eggs. And it's like, just getting so upset about the dumbest stuff. Like, I can't anymore with these hormones. I can't do it. I can't ride this roller coaster. I'm scared of this roller coaster. And I don't know if it's brave to admit that, but I don't trust my mind anymore.
It's Final only going to get worse.
I know.
It's only going to get worse.
How do people regulate? I got to do something about regulating my emotions, because I am just so negative some days. Like, I just woke up today just feeling so sad and I can't get out of it. And it's not like I can go, I can't do a podcast today. I can't, and I tried to do affirmations in the mirror. I went to Starbucks and I journaled for 3 pages. I woke up early because I kind of felt it coming on last night, and I go, I'm going to wake up early because I don't want to go into a podcast in a bad mood tomorrow. And to be honest, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just still a little bit like agitated about certain things. So maybe it's a little bit, I can't help it though. I'm not trying to be this way. I think that's something that we can all relate to. We can all relate to being in a bad mood and not being able to get out of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. Why? But then why, when someone is in a bad mood around us and they don't get out of it, is it so fucking annoying? I can't even relate or forgive.
Because it's like insane. At us. Because it's at us. I don't actually mind if someone's in a bad mood and it doesn't come out as like short-temperedness. If I'm right. Just like, oh, they're having a bad day, that's fine. But if it's like, what? Like, if they're being a dick to me,
it's directed at you. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't forgive that.
Well, even though you know it's not really about you, you know, like, we just don't do well with people being mad at us. And I think that's what comes back to this whole thing of me waking up to this text about, like, people analyzing your life. It makes me think that people are mad at me, or they've uncovered why I'm a bad person and they've figured it out. Like, I haven't already figured it out. Like, you know, and then that makes it, because people, I was texting with the girls chat today about it and trying to work out my feelings about it. And they were like, you know, they gave me back the same advice I give to my friends when they are worried about what other people think about them. And I just say, they're going to be vapor someday. Everyone's going to be dead. And all the thoughts that they have about you that might be wrong, or you might want to prove wrong, their thoughts are going to be vapor. Everything's going to be vapor. Nothing matters. And it wasn't even the problem with my thing wasn't like, I really don't care what other, I guess I don't not care, but it's less about someone being mad at me or someone not liking me, and it's more about them being right. Like, I'm right. Never like, they have it wrong. I'm a good person. I go, they're probably right, and I'm a bad person. It's not like I want to prove them wrong, because I don't even, that's not even where my mind goes to go like, no, they don't get it. I need to set them straight about what really happened there. And they don't know, they're only seeing his side of things and they don't even know what really happened. And instead, I just go, no, they're right. I don't even pretend they're not right. I don't even combat it in that way. Yes, I call them a loser on my podcast and try to incite, you know, try to poke that bear even more. But, yeah, I just tend to think they're right. And then that's where I go into this like hole.
Here's what I have to remedy that.
What?
And if I opened my own therapy center and became a psychiatrist, this is what I would tell my patients in every session. Who cares? Because think about it. If I go on Reddit and I read about myself, which I never have, and people say something that I fear is actually true, like, oh my God, she has such an annoying voice, or she's not even that great of a singer, or her songs aren't even that good, or all my worst fears, like her lyrics don't even make sense, or whatever, or like she looks like Tom Petty, like anything. And I'm like, oh my God, what? Tom Petty.
Oh, I thought you said Tommy.
Like, what if they're right? Who cares? Like, what if they are right? I haven't seen it. Does it mean that I have to believe them? No. And like, what if it's true that I look like Tom Petty and my lyrics are bad and I can't really sing? So what?
Right. Well, my thing is I care because I don't want to be a bad person in this world. And I feel like bad people just are drains on society. And so it makes me want to kill myself.
But what if you...
So it makes me want to just eliminate myself from the world.
Like, what if you are a bad person? Like, lean into it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be able to help it. There's nothing I can really do about it if I'm a bad person. But then it just makes me upset that I got dealt this shitty hand. It comes back to, like... Why did my parents have sex and make something like me? Why didn't they just adopt and not make something like me? Coming back around.
I'm doing the teal swan technique to you, I just realized. Like, and then what? So what? Lean into it. And then what? And then
Then if I'm a bad person, then I have to give up, like, I should give up veganism. I should give up being an aunt. I should just lean into being a horrible person and being selfish. But then that's not what I want to do. And so I guess I don't really know what – you could keep doing that all day, but I guess I just feel like a fraud and that people see into it. Okay, and so then if it's true, if everything they say is true, then I have no respect for anyone who's gotten to me to where I am. I have no respect for my loved ones who love me and think I'm great. I have no respect for my family who made me and think that I'm great. If what they're saying about me is true, then – everyone who likes me is wrong, and I don't really want to be friends with them anymore, and I don't want them in my life because they're wrong.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Just lying to me.
Here's something for you to think about.
What do you do for that?
Okay, so you don't read the comment. You don't know exactly what is said. It's your mind that's telling you what all these bad things are.
I'm usually pretty right, but yes, okay.
You're setting the terms of what makes you a bad person, and your brain is trying to find all those links. Mm-hmm. So if you can just kind of like say to yourself, okay, well, let me go over, is this true? No, because I am this way. I'm compassionate. I went and I bought this cat 2 cans of food, whereas someone who is less, you know, kind-hearted would just keep walking and say, oh, well, that's going to be, you know, like, who cares? It's just a street cat.
Right.
You know, like, you are able to dispel the things that your primitive brain is telling you where it's just like, you're bad, you're bad. But you're setting those terms. It's not the comments because you don't know what the comments are actually saying.
Yes, I don't. I will reiterate that. I will never look at anything, and I would encourage no one to look at it on my behalf to go defend me. Like, it's no point in talking to these people, and I don't even want you to read it. People who like me and are like, what are they saying about her? Because honestly, it will poison you to not like me. You think that it won't, and you'll be like, no, I like you no matter what, Nikki. It will poison you. You will kind of see something that they're saying and it'll make you just look at me differently. And if you want that, then fine. But I'm telling you, that's what happens. Even if these people are just, you know, egomaniacal trolls. That's what does
it all really comes down to your relationship with yourself, which is piggybacking off what Noah said. So like, no matter, this is why I love Byron Katie, who talks about like, is it true? Is it true? And like being unoffendable, basically. Like, you know, if someone said the worst thing to her ever, like she probably be like, oh, I could see some truth to that. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter because your relationship with yourself and your knowledge of yourself is the primary thing.
Yes. I like that. Okay. It's bad, though, when you have a bad relationship with yourself.
Yeah. So then that's
good info.
And
that's the thing that needs nurturing. And that's the thing that needs work more than trying to figure out how to make other people happy. And that's why I stand in the mirror. I approve of myself all day long.
I approve of myself.
And I didn't do it that much this weekend because I was too busy. So I just got to get back on that and then I will feel better across the board. I also took lion's mane supplement this morning. I don't recommend that. It has changed nothing for me. It was supposed to give me like a pep in my step and like a better outlook on life. It has not. It's bullshit. Amazon, you know, sold me a raw deal, or maybe they're just some bad supplements, but lion's mane does not change your life or eliminate your problems.
What's it supposed to help?
It's supposed to like help with ADD and like just give you energy and make you mentally focused. It's supposed to help with all of that. My friend Elon Gold, comedian, was like, it'll change your life. And I was like, yes. And it's then I mushroom, read something this right? weekend and I, yeah, it's a kind of mushroom. So,
I've heard of this.
Lion's mane. Yeah. I don't recommend it. It didn't do anything for me today, but I am back on track of drinking a lot of water because I've realized all I drink is Zevia soda. Literally, that's all I drink. And so I'm trying to drink more water. These are the kinds of resolutions that I have. Watch more like Downton Abbey type shows. Watch more alone. Spend more time in nature. I think that is something I'm definitely getting into, of just like, because I've been working on a treadmill recently, and they have the little simulated runs and walks and stuff. And a lot of them have been going through nature, and I'm like, I want to go to this place, but it's in my small gym on a little screen. And even that is being like, okay, I can see how this would work. And I try to like get closer to the screen so I can immerse myself in it and maybe make it like an, you know, an IMAX experience or like, you know, virtual reality, but it doesn't work that way. So watching the show alone and also on that treadmill has been encouraging me to get more out more. But then when I step outside without my headphones on, a cat asks me for help. And then I get sad that the world is so cruel and little cats have to give birth in the cold in the bushes. All right, guys, that's the podcast today. Thank you, Anya, for being here. Thank you, Noah. We look forward to all so much fun in this new year with the podcast. And thank you guys for listening today. And tomorrow will be a better day for me. I can't wait to hear from you and see you then. Don't be jackpot.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at DontTellComedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.